001 Sunday night Shara B'tochen. Yes, a question. Wait, we're holding.
Not
about Shara B'tochen. Okay. Wait. Just for the record, so this is Perek Shlishi, Shir 8, the 8th Shir in Perek Gimel. Yeah. Question.
I've been listening to your shiurim on the early morning brokers, but I've noticed that you give to the men on the MP3.
Yeah.
You gave them some time ago, but I've noticed something. There are a few brokers which, like they say, Honosain, Le'yaif Korach, and the Lamed Torah Lamo Yisrael. Does that hay mean anything? Because when they translate it in the art scroll, they translate it as if it has no meaning.
I don't right now know the answer as to why sometimes the hay is there and why it's not there. But the hay could be, I mean, if you were translated, it would just mean, let's say you would say, Nosein Le'yaif Korach.
Yes.
You'd say, who gives the weary strength?
Yes.
And Hanosein, you would say, he who gives the weary strength. He is one who gives the weary strength.
Yes.
So it's a good question why that's done sometimes. Usually it's when it's quoting a psukim, like when it's quoting a pasuk, when it's like a phrase taken from a pasuk, like I believe Hanosein Le'yaif Korach is taken from a pasuk in Yeshaya. So sometimes they just lifted the pasuk into the bracha, but that's probably why.
And there's another one, Hamachain Mitzadeh Gaver.
Yeah, the ha would be translated as he, H-E, I'm talking English now, he who, I'm talking English now, W-H-O, he who gives, and so on. Mm-hmm. So, I it could really be loped off in translation.
They do lop it off.
Yeah.
I sort of feel there's a special emphasis that it's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu who does it.
You could be right, you know. You can, it's
That's
a good suggestion.
That's
we need time to check it out. Yeah. Okay. So, the 8th Shir in the 3rd Perek of Shara B'tochon. And we're up to now this, on page Kuf Lamed Daled in the printing that we're using. We're up to the second aspect of clarity that you have to have if you're going to develop full bitachon, and that is yidiyaso bebeyur shehashem yisromein v'yushader mashkifolov. You have to realize, you know, we all pay lip service to this, but it has to, you have to really feel, and if you feel this way, it's really a scary thought, that Hashem's always watching you, and Hashem's looking at you. Now, what's the Chavis HaLovis' point here? What does this have to do with Pitochen? Because he's in the middle of a sentence. So, Hashem's looking at you, and he's watching you. You know, imagine, you know, we all act differently when someone's watching us. Even if, you know, a good person, not a fake, a good person. But when he's davening alone in a, he or she is davening alone in a room, and they're davening where someone's watching them, or could see them, it's different. I think, I will admit it's different. You don't have to, but it's, I think we all would, okay, you're free, you can go. We would all subscribe to Mrs. Manners, when you daven alone in a room, and you daven where other people are seeing you, do you think your davening is different? Don't answer. I'm saying it's always different, by everybody. So, Hashem's always watching you. V'lonela mimenu niglehu v'nistoru. But his point here is not to teach us Shivisi Hashem l'negdi samid. His point is to go on, he goes on and he says that Hashem could read our minds and he sees everything we're doing and he knows what we're thinking and he knows our attitudes. Right? Even Malachim cannot read people's minds.
Really?
So we're safe from the Malachim also. And therefore it should be a very scary thought because, you know, a person has motivations. A person a person does things for all sorts of motives, and there's nuances of, you know, there's always nuances why we do things. We're angry at someone, we want to show that we're better than someone, we want a little kavod, and Hashem is right there. Hashem is in touch with all of our senses. The sodo, pshoto, Hashem, our deeds, our thoughts. And now comes the punchline. This is the point the Chayes HaVavos is making. The tohar bitchono al Hashem, o e tohar bitchono olav. This is an amazing point. Chayes HaVavos is listing things that you have to... This is such a... it doesn't seem to make any sense at first, but if you think about it, it's such a logical, and it's a pedagogical lesson. He's saying like this. He's listing things that you need to develop full bitachon. What's number two on the list? We're up to number two. Number two is to realize that Hashem knows if you're really having bitachon or not. Because we all tend to pay lip service to bitachon. We all claim to have bitachon. When things are going good, we certainly have bitachon. Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. Right? And, but Hashem knows if we, like, really are sincere. He knows if we're really relying on Hashem, if we're really there, if we're really there, if our minds and thoughts and attitudes and subliminal thoughts, like, because Baruch Hu is like, right here. Do we really have bitachon? It's like, what's this doing on the list? So, this happens to be true, but like, why do you have to know this to develop? He's saying, he doesn't speak it out. I'm speaking it out. It's a more ridiculous lesson. If you don't realize that, you'll never develop full bitachon, because you'll always kid yourself. That's what he means to say. And it's a tremendous limud. He doesn't even speak it out. He's making a list of things you need to develop full bitachon. Number two is to realize that Hashem knows if you're really having bitachon or not. Mm-hmm. Now, superficially, off the cuff, ostensibly, you say, like, why do you have to know that to develop full bitachon? And the answer is, because you'll always kid yourself if not. He doesn't speak it out. That's his point. Yeah.
But the downside is you always doubt yourself as well. Is it really true bitachon? Maybe it's not bitachon. Maybe I'm kidding myself.
A person always has to doubt himself, and to strike a balance between doubting yourself and not being paranoiac, and feeling and having a healthy self confidence, while at the same time sort of doubting yourself, is a balancing act that we do our whole lives with everything, with all of our service of Hashem, with so many things. We always are walking that tightrope. That's why the song says Gesher Tzar Me'od, right? That's the song, because it's a tightrope, and you have to doubt yourself, and do I really mean it? And then you have to say, but you have to, you can develop, I know people, I mean, unfortunately people develop a paranoia, and they're always down. there's no. I can't sit here and give you a formula.
There's no compass that you could like check yourself and see any.
There is, but it's very detailed. I can't give a formula for it. In other words, if I know a person well, it's what either a very good friend is for. Mm-hmm. I think I've quoted the Derech Chaim many times. Rav Chaim Volozhin on Pirkei Avos. I think I said it many times, that he says many times that one of the things you should have a good friend for is for such matters, to talk things over with, and they hit you over the head if you're not, a rav or a mentor, better yet. It doesn't have to be a rav, it could be a rabbitson, it could be any mentor. A mentor that knows you well. And, you know, you talk things out, and you examine your motives, and you have to not be embarrassed, and you talk, and a mentor. And it's very hard. I can't sit here and give you a formula. You know, if you this, and you know, then this. It's, every nuance is different. Life is very, That's what Chazal say. Chazal say in a very famous statement, there's only the width of a hair that separates Gan Eden and Gehenna. Okay? You could do everything right, and Hashem knows that in your heart. But I realize just now, as I'm talking, there is one thing I can tell you. And that is that our lives have to be governed by the rule of Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bo B'Trunyam B'Yosef. Hashem's not here to trip. Hashem's not here that after 120 years he's going to say, "Aha, I fooled you, ha ha ha." In other words, we're capable of realizing it. You don't have to drive yourself crazy that there's something going on that you're incapable of ferreting out. That Hashem doesn't do. Hashem, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bo B'Trunya, he doesn't overburden someone with an impossible load. So you don't have to be afraid that despite your best efforts, so there's really something there that you can't unearth. You do have to be afraid, perhaps, that you haven't unearthed it yet, that you're still a little nogea bedover. But you don't have to ultimately worry that you've done your best, and then Hashem says, you know, ha 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 ha, I fooled you. That doesn't happen. So that's a confidence that you can have, that a person can have, that they don't have to worry about that. That despite their best efforts, they just haven't, you know, they haven't gotten it. That's not true. We're promised that if you have your best efforts, it's within your grasp. That's what the pasuk says. Lo b'shamayim hi, ki korav elecha, don't say it's b'shamayim hi. This is all included in those psukim. So that's what it means. It's always within your grasp. Hashem he's not playing gotcha here. So that is a principle that could be said.
Rabbi Isra talks about the point of truth within everybody. Mm-hmm. Everybody can know. Somebody outside can't always know, but the person themselves can always come to the point of truth.
So this is what he says. If you don't realize that Hashem knows, this is what he means. You'll fool yourself because it's easy to pay lip service. Al derech maimer akosav, and remember what the pasuk says: Hashem yodea machshavos adam ki heim ohavel. Hashem knows the innermost thoughts of a person. Ki heim ohavel, what they really are. The one who measures hearts, the one who created intelligence, the one who created man, so he certainly knows what's going on in the hearts and minds of men. Right, Malachim don't know, Hashem knows. So you have to convince Hashem that you have bitachon. So once you know, and once you feel, and once you're aware, and you've internalized that Hashem knows, so you can't just blithely, or blithely, whatever the word is, talk about, you know, Hashem, you know, Shubatech al Hashem, Belisha yiftach olav b'libu v'matzpuno, without really truly having bitachim. Ki oz yiyah, surely you don't want to be on the level of about whom the Navi writes, but pivu v'sfasov kibeduni v'libay rachak mimeni, that you're just going through the motions. So, you know, so what do? You have to practice. That's what it boils down to. In other words, you could ask the following question: how do you work if you have to be holding by something? So then, how do you ever work on it? Like how do you? The terrace is like a baby learning how to walk. You know, you walk and you're not really ready to walk yet, but you know you're walking and you fall and then you try again and you get a step further and you fall again, and you don't get discouraged. You just pick yourself up and that's how you develop it. So you practice bitachon. So the first thing to practice is to ask Hashem to. That you should get to the store successfully, And when you get through so successfully, you thank Hashem that you got through so successfully. To take every action, your mundane actions, things that go on, you're baking your cake, you're preparing your, please Hashem, let it come out good. And then you practice and you slowly build up. That's why I said someone went in, I think I must have said it over here. Someone asked me Shaila once if they could, I said it over, if they could buy an El Al ticket, because security is better on El Al. Mm-hmm. So I said, once you've asked the question, you might as well. There's no point. So I was telling the story over to someone, so someone asked me, well, how do you develop bitachon if you always take that attitude? So maybe they should have. As I said, they weren't holding by it. Their heart would be thumping the whole way. You can't practice bitachon with your heart thumping. You have to start with small things. You go to Kevin Rachel at Studio Joe. You know, you start with small things, and then you build yourself up to not going El Al because the security is better.
Should you push yourself a little bit?
About this particular case about the security with El Al?
Let's say you're afraid to go somewhere. Should you push yourself a little bit? Or are you saying
you have to take baby steps. You can't, if you jump into it, then there's no point, because you have to develop the inner bitachon that Hashem could look at you and say, yes, this person has bitachon. So,
but should you wait till you have that bitachon?
Well, I don't have a formula, because if you always wait, you'll never get anywhere. So let's think of a baby learning how to walk. So, you know, you go, let's say when there's a lot of other women there and you're not so nervous because there's so many people around you. I don't know, you have to think of a way to slowly build up the bitachon. Here the Chazon Ish in Emuna u'bitachon writes in the context of this Chavis HaLovas that we just learned. Let me read it to you. It's very cute. He says you have a Reuven. He says in real life, you have sometimes Reuven and Ish HaMusar, and he's always talking about Baruch Hashem and Be'ezus Hashem, and he talks about Bitachon, and everything's going well. He has a store, and you know he's earning Parnasa, and it's going very well. And he loves Bitachon. He says, why shouldn't he love Bitachon? Things are going great. One day, he hears that Shimon is opening a store. And all of a sudden, he's like, what am I going to do? And what are we going to do? We can't let Shimon do that. He actually do that. How dare he do that? And he starts figuring out how he could mess Shimon up. And he starts doing pulas. And like all of his bitachon is out the window. And listen to his sharp words he uses. If you say that shlilus habitachon, if you don't have bitachon, machzor benefesh hamaskeles, it's a chisaron, achoyli mar mizeh, this is the Chazon Ish, a worse illness than not having bitachon is bitachon hamazuyaf, fake bitachon. Ubiyos haziyuf, he says, because he writes, because fake bitachon will have talmidim and is being mechanech people, and it's not the real thing. And you know, even a rebbe, you know, you have a rebbe, you know, and then someone else, the hamhola gives a different rebbe the better kids in the shir, and he gets the worst kids, and he goes crazy. So that's what the Chayes HaLovas is saying, that you have to realize that bitachon is something in the innermost regions of the heart, if you truly have it. So the way is to practice. Practice with small things. Practice, that's why the Chavis HaLovas was written. That's why it's written that you could make 1, A, B, C, D, 2, A, B, C, 3. He wrote the whole Sefer that way. Because it's a workbook. As I said, the first day, the first shir, or the second shir, the Chavis HaLovas is essentially a workshop book. And if you follow it, like you can take the Chavis HaLovas, we're learning it like a textbook. But it's really a workshop sheet, where you could say, okay, ladies, for the next 3 weeks, we're going to we're going to play act, or whatever they do in workshops, I don't know. We're going to act out number C of area 2. Right? And let's make up a story, you know, and you do it. And he's very Musudanuchavzalvavas. It's really a worksheet in developing bitachon. We're learning it like a text, you know, but it's really very mesudar, and everything is first this, and then that, and then this, and it's very, it builds on itself. So you say, okay, how do I develop bitachon? That's what we're trying to do here. Start listening to the shiurim again from shiur number one. Yeah.
In the case of Reuven there, he shouldn't have been bothered at all. Is that, if you have
that's time, a ultimately, yeah. If you have full bitachon, you go with your Rolodex of customers and you go to Shimon and you say, here, I would like to give you my Rolodex of customers. But that's already, you're talking about like Rabbi Arya Levine, right. You know. And you should know something, if
but that's bitachon.
I have to say but. You know, sometimes you could take Shimon to a Din Torah because he's not allowed to open up another store. No, so then the question.
Right, so we're out of that and right.
Competition is good.
Sometimes it's also.
What about the furnace? It's good.
Good question. Let's say someone's breaks into your house and steals something from you.
Yeah.
Should you let him have it? Of course Hashem will replace it. You know, you have bitachon. Maybe you weren't meant to have that. So, something doesn't sound right. You know, it sounds true, but it doesn't sound right. But if someone steals something from me, I have every right to the Torah. So okay. The answer, I mean, but there are stories of tzaddikim, right, who ran after the ganav and said, I'm oichel you, you know.
I'll give it to you.
Right, but I was hoping you wouldn't ask me that. Are we supposed to strive to reach that madrega? I don't know. It's like saying, are we supposed to strive to reach the madrega of the Ramban where we don't go to a doctor? And we just, there is such a madrega. The Ramban's madrega where we don't go to doctors and we say that illness is the will of Hashem. And if I'm sick, it means there's something spiritually wrong with me. And let me fix up what's spiritually wrong with me and I'll get better. And the Ramban says, like, you know, what do you need a doctor for? And the Ramban was a doctor, right? Did you know that?
Ramban
was also a doctor.
He was also a doctor.
And
he
curses.
Was a doctor, but he said that
you, but he said that you don't need doctors. So the answer is that he's talking like about an ideal. He's talking about a concept, an ideal that...
But it is the truth.
That's not in the real world. Yeah, but in the real world, you won't get there. And I don't know, when something al pi Torah is right or wrong, according to the Shulchan Aruch, then you don't have to be holding there. Right? I guess I have to make an exception there also. When you're dealing in Kiruv, what I just said is perhaps is inoperative. Because when you're dealing with people who have no shaychus to frumkeit, and you're trying to be makar of them, you can't just throw the whole Shulchan Aruch on them. they have to be holding there. But Baruch Hashem, to frum people who are already frum, well, they believe in Hashem, and they know the Torah is Mesinai, us, all of us sitting here. So you don't have to be holding there to do the Shulchan Aruch. It has to be like, that's it, this is my life. According to Shulchan Aruch, someone steals from you, you prosecute them, you take them to Beis Din, you get it back. There is, you know, what's the question? Does the Torah demand of me that I develop bitachon to the degree that I won't prosecute a ganav? No, I think that's impossible to say that the Torah would demand of me that I not do what the Torah says I could and should do, or I could do. I mean, I have every right to. There's no b'dievitz in Torah. So it's called midus chasidus, I guess. I guess it's called, you know, lifnim mishuras hadin. It's wrong to say that Hashem's demanding it of me, but in all honesty, if someone wants to perfect to the ultimate their midas bitachon, they will say to a ganav, you know, I'm oichel you. They will. But it's almost unfair to talk about. It would be like sitting here talking about the Ramban sheet of not going to a doctor. We're very far from that. And halavai, we should be zoicha that when we go to a doctor, we should realize that he's only Hashem Shliach. And halavai, we would be zoicha that when we take the ganav to a din Torah and a store that opens up in a way that's not allowed, I'm stressing those words, underline, is a ganav. Halavai, we would take him to Beis Din and not talk Lashon Hara about him and not tell the whole world what an evil person he is. There's so much work we have to do within the realm of what's allowed that it's almost comical to talk about, well, I should really not even care. You know, that's like saying I shouldn't even go to a doctor. You know, it's... We could state unequivocally that the Torah doesn't demand it of us. And there's nothing wrong with saying that there are this perfection, and we're very far from perfection, and halavai will be good people, not bad people. Perfection is already... Right? It's perfection is the Ramban's not going to a doctor. I don't even think we should talk about it. It's not for people. I mean, maybe I shouldn't talk like that. Maybe there's someone sitting here in this room that is holding by it. But there's a danger. You see, because you have to go incrementally, and if you look at that as for people like us, you'll be moichel me. I mean, I don't know you all that well, so maybe you really are holding there. Please be moichel me. Now I can honestly say I'm talking about myself. If you talk about those things, it's like it's a Yetzirah talking, because it's like the Chafetz Chaim. If you ever learn Shmiras Halashon, so he says one of the things the Yetzirah does is says, oh, you don't want to talk Lashon Hara? Okay, you're not allowed to open your mouth. You're not going to be able to talk to anybody. You're going to have to not have any friends because you never know when you'll be nichshol in Lashon Hara. And he makes it so impossible that you don't bother working on it. Because so if we talk about not going to a doctor, or we talk about not taking to Beis Din the store that opened up Shaloi Kedin, or not prosecuting the ganav that stole from me, it might, you know, it's like the Yetzer Hara talking, you know. It makes, oh, that's what bitachon is. Forget it. It's not for me, bitachon. And there's such a lifetime of work, and we'll never reach there. There's a lifetime of work within, like I say, take the guy to Beis Din, but don't talk Lashon Hara. And if you lose the case, right? I was on a Beis Din for 15 years. I can tell you what people say about a Beis Din when they lose the case. I tell you, in 15 years on a Beis Din, did I ever tell this story before? In 15 years on a Beis Din, only once did I have the following experience. There was a din Torah with a real estate agent and a woman who sold her house, and the question was if she was entitled to a commission. It was two ladies. And we paskined that she owed her the commission, that the homeowner owed the real estate, $12,000 it was. So we paskined she owes the $12,000. The next day, a few days later, we get a letter from the lady who lost, thanking us, and says she feels terrible, that it turns out all these months she was holding on to money that really wasn't hers. Wow. And she asks Machila, because retroactive. Mm-hmm. Now, right. One. Wow. I mean, I don't want to argue with Shlomo HaMelech. He says, Isha b'chaleila lo matzasi. 15 years, only one person reacted that way. This homeowner woman who owed the real... One person, I could... Hundreds of Dinei Torah. Hundreds. One person said, who lost, said, thank you. Now I know what's right and what's wrong. So, you know, halavai, we should be working on those madrigas.
What I'm trying to understand, let's say you have a store and the other person opens the store legally, I'm saying.
Halachically legally,
Okay. But let's say it still bothers you. You're saying if you have bitachon, it shouldn't bother you, right?
That's for us to work on. If the person opens a store legally, then it's for us to. It's hard. You know, it takes a lifetime. It takes years of work. It's very hard. It's very, very hard.
I'm not making believe it's easy. Does he say that you're human? Does he say, "Oh, she doesn't have enough bitachon," or is he going to say, "Well"?
You want to know when Hashem's going to zap you? You want to know when Hashem's going to zap you?
Yeah. I want to know how you're going to
Hashem's going to zap you if you didn't work on it.
So if it's bothering you, but you're working on it,
That's what we're going to. We have yet to learn that in the Chayavos Aldabas. If you do your best, but that's what we're learning now. Hashem knows, and this is the scary part. Hashem knows if you're truly doing your best, or if you say, "Oh, great," or Melinda said, "As long as I'm working on it, it's good enough." So now I could coast. Then Hashem does zap you. If you're coasting, you have to work on it. So how do you work on it? You tell Hashem, it came every Sunday night to Chayes Olamos Shia. And Hashem says, so you sat for 45 minutes, big deal. What did you do when you left? Did you think about it again? Or you just shut the door and be talking until the next Sunday night? Mm-hmm. So that's what Chayes Olamos says. He says, Hashem knows if you're working on it, then you don't have to worry. But if you're not, then you have to worry. You don't have to worry if you reach the goal. Of course, we're human beings, right? We're human. Lo tikum lo sitor. How do you do lo sitor? Very, very hard. So the Rambam says, you have to think, it doesn't matter. Kamse yavor, nothing's really that important, it's okay. The chinuch says, think bitachon. Mm-hmm. Think it's Hashem, it's not really that person, it's Hashem sending me. Look, we just learned in the Nachshir. David HaMelech, this is the most amazing thing. David HaMelech has the chance to kill Shaul, and he doesn't, and he's allowed to. It's clear in the Gemara. David HaMelech says, I'm allowed to. I was allowed to because you want to kill me. So I'm allowed to kill you first. But you're a tzaddik. I can't bring myself to do it. You're too big a person. You're a tzaddik. You're the Melech Yisrael. I can't do it. Then in the next pasuk he says, but Hashem's going to get you for what you're doing. So, what do you see in that pasuk? That David wasn't mochel him. David didn't say, it's okay, I'm mochel you. David was moser dino l'shamayim, very harshly. So, in one breath, he's saying, you're a tzaddik, and I'm not going to, I'm not going to touch you, because you're the Melech Yisrael, and I don't feel like this is wrong for me to do. Even though I'm technically allowed to, but I can't bring myself to do it. And then in the next sentence, he says, but Hashem's going to get you back for what you're doing to me. So why wasn't David Rabbi Levine and say, I'm Meichel you? Someone's looking to kill you. You don't have to be Meichel them. I don't know. I guess, should you be Meichel? Then what did David say before he said, I'm Apple at night? He said, I'm Meichel Shaul. Obviously he didn't. He obviously wasn't Meichel him. He says, Hashem will get you back. I mean, my child would talk that way. I would maybe you shouldn't be saying that. And here's David HaMelech, and it's quoted by Nara. Hashem's going to, Hashem yinkom nikmosi. So, what I said in the Nachshir is that we're talking about big people. David didn't say it out of a sense of personal angst, like Hashem's going to stick up for me. There's such a thing in the world called justice. It was wrong. It was wrong for Shaul to be chasing David. It was objectively wrong. And if Hashem would not punish Shaul for doing it, that's not a good limud for the world. It's not a good limud for Klal Yisrael. What, because he's a melech, he can get away with doing things? Well, it's not fair. It's not fair, it's not justice, it's wrong. So, I'm suggesting, it's a chiddush maybe, but I'm saying, when David said Hashem's going to get you back, it's in that sense. Hashem will punish you in the sense of kel nekamos Hashem, kel nekamos. Because he uses the word nekama, which is a very strong word. It sounds very personal, nekama. Right? But it's not necessarily so. When you say Hashem will be no ken tinkom leinenu nikmas dama badecha ashofuch from the goyim, it doesn't have to mean a personal agenda. It doesn't have to be personal. It could be just, you know, there's a world and there's right and there's wrong, and we want Hashem to redress wrongs. And there's it's okay to call that nekama, because nekama is, if we say kel nekamos Hashem, it means nekama is not a bad thing. It's also, see, that's what's also. It's also if you take it personally. It's also, in other words, are you going to take nekama from someone as quickly if he or she wrongs someone else as if they wronged you? You're not going to, right? So that means it's about you. So the Torah said, don't take nekama, because it's going to be about you. But if you could manage to, like, okay, it's not about me. It's about justice. It's about what's right and what's wrong. Now, how do you do that? Because, you know, you're always no gay and bedover. So the Hashem says, you know, lo tikum lo sitar. Don't, you know, you're not allowed to take nekama. But if you say Hashem should take nekama, you say shein tachas shein, ayin tachas ayin. So the Rishonim say it's justified for someone who injured me, really theoretically, chas v'shalom, not in, if he blinded me, I should take out his eye. I should take, it's justice to take nekama. He wronged me, and he should be punished. But he should be punished if he, I should feel the same way if he knocked out someone else's eye also. It's not about me. It's not a personal thing. It's the world. It's the sense, it's redressing the balance of rightness in the world, right? It's really a very, you know, conceptually, the world has to be run with mishpat, with din. You can't let evildoers get away with evil. So I said, and actually, that when David HaMelech said Hashem will be no kain, he meant in this sense of justice. He didn't mean Hashem is going to pay you back for chasing me. It means Hashem will punish you because you're doing what's wrong. You know, this is a wrong thing. And if it's wrong, so Hashem will certainly redress the balance and make right what's wrong.
So what about in the bedtime Shema, when it says, I forgive? So you should have your heart clear.
Nothing personal. It's not personal.
So you should have your heart clear from anything.
Most of the time, we're not seeking to redress what's right and wrong in the world. Most of the time, we are hurt, and we want to lash back. So you work on being mochel. But if indeed there's a larger issue of justice, and you're able to rise above yourself, it's not very hard, and sort of just relate to the litmus test is, just ask yourself honestly, how would I feel if they would be doing this to someone else? that usually takes all the wind out of your sails. Because you know very well, 99% of the time, if they'd be doing it to someone else, you would, like, and then go right there with your life. That's about it, right? So that's when you say, I'm oichel them. But again, we're not talking about if they break into the house and steal from you. You know, maybe Rabbi Levine will be meichel them, but you know, that's not us. That's the people who won't go to a doctor because they're following the Ramban. That's not anybody within earshot here, unless I'm misjudging you. Again, please be meichel me.
So when you're saying those words, I forgive every Jew, and let's say there was somebody that had stolen in your house, would that include that person too?
No. It shouldn't. I don't know. On Erev Yom Kippur, it says it beferish. We speak out in Tefillah Zaka. Mm-hmm. It says, I'm mochel everyone except for someone who I could take them to Beis Din, to Din, and get back what's rightfully mine. I mean, Hashem wrote that in the Torah. Hashem wrote in the Torah, if someone wrongs me, I have to get reimbursed. They have to reimburse me. That's what's right, and that's justice, and that's, you know, so why are there big tzaddikim that will be mochel? Of course, they're going beyond what's required, beyond what's expected, beyond they're really big people. Right? Again, these are the people that won't go to a doctor because they'll say the Ramban. They'll work with the Ramban. The Rambam said, of course you go to a doctor. And saying, you know, you can't even make the joke about the Rambam being a doctor, because the Ramban was a doctor also. So you can't even make a joke. The Rambam says, Shtuyot. He does. And I'll show you next week what the Rambam says. He says, Shtuyot. If you're hungry, so someone's going to say, don't eat. Have bitachon. Hashem made food. So if you're sick, Hashem made medicine. So you go to a doctor and he tells you what medicine to take. It's no different, the Rambam says, than eating when you're hungry. So you go to a doctor and you're sick. Something's wrong. So it's all the same. So Rav Dessler says that there's no machlokas Rambam Ramban. It's just, the Ramban is like, shoot, you know, he's talking about a very theoretically high-class tzaddik, like the kind of person that Kiman doesn't exist. And the Rambam's talking to people. And they're not really arguing. They're just, the Ramban is more like theoretical, and the Rambam's real. That's what the Dessel says in Michtam Elio. Okay. So, when you think about, you know, he's talking about, we daven, right? So we say, Nafshenu chiksol Hashem, Ezenu mugneinu hu, kivo yusmach libeinu, kivishen kochoi vatochnu hu. Kivo, right? Yichastcho Hashem oleinu, kashay chalmu loch. And I, you have to be worried, Hashem's listening to you. You go, really? Do you mean that? Right? That's what he says. You say things, and bepib v'sfos of kibaduni v'libo rochak mimeni. So you have to work on it. So you have to practice. You have to make a workshop out of it. Say, we said a few weeks ago, we never got beyond it. The first way to practice is to always, when something's going on, like once a day, ask Hashem to let it be successful. And then if, no matter how mundane it is, no matter how straightforward it is, you went to the store to buy a container of milk, ask Hashem to get me there safely. Ask Hashem to make sure to milk is there, but that's so eklisha over, it's either there already or not there already. Well, you thank Hashem that it's there. So that would be first step in the workshop, the awareness that Hashem controls everything. Okay, so you start with that practice. The truth is, we should make a workshop out of it, the Bitachon workshop. Okay, but that's what Chavos Halavos is. Okay, so that's number two. So I never fail to be amazed by number two. That a necessary yediya, a necessary realization to develop bitachon is to realize that Hashem knows whether or not you're truly having bitachon. Again, why? I'm convinced that's the pshat. Because otherwise you'll never get there. You'll always just be this guy that when life is good, so he has bitachon. And then...
Can you repeat that again? The number
two? Well, the Chavos Halavos says number two in developing bitachon is the realization that Hashem knows whether or not you truly have bitachon. So ostensibly, like, why? And that's what I said tonight. I'm convinced that the pshat is because else you'll never get there. If you don't know that Hashem is sitting there with a spotlight on your soul, you'll never get there. You'll always just fall back into behavioral patterns, and you'll say Baruch Hashem, you'll say Bezus Hashem, and that's when things are going well. And then when things are not going well, you'll collapse. Chas v'shalom, you'll blow up. So when you realize that Hashem knows if you truly have bitachon or not, you'll work on developing true bitachon. Because what's the point? Bitachon is probably the quintessential chovos halavos is bitachon. It's in your kishkas. It's in the kishkas. Two people can be living the same life outwardly, waking up in the morning, going to work, taking care of the kids, whatever. Two people go through all the same motions, and one person is as far from HaKadosh Baruch Hu like like Mars is from Earth, and the other person, the exact same outward actions, is living with Hashem. So it's really truly the quintessential Chayvus HaLevavos. Okay. Mm-hmm. Up here.